Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. This week, we're doing Empire's Book along with being in dickheads.
What are you talking about?
And NBA news. I have nothing to talk about. What are you talking about?
I don't know. You're seeing things, I think, through that camera.
Well, how about you start with the games and I'll chime in. Can't see you.
Oh man, what a start. Well, I guess if we sort of go all the way back through back to last Tuesday, like we had the return of Gordon Hayward for the Celtics, which was good against the Cavs. So we had a few returns of sort of high-ish profile players this week. D'Angelo Russell came back for the Warriors. Marvin Bagley came back for the Kings.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Gordon Hayward. He only had 14 points, which isn't bad against the Cavs. That was last Tuesday. So that's sort of a good thing for him. Oh, and also Ja Morant come back as well on that same day on the Tuesday. So he had 26 points against Golden State, but you can't really read too much into that because it's Golden State. There was some decent games on that. A couple of on the Tuesday, there was like three games essentially with buzzer beaters. Derrick Rose had a buzzer beater for the Pistons against the Pels, for a 105-103 win, and that was in New Orleans, which I thought, if you look at the highlights of that, which I thought was a massive offensive foul on him, a bit of a push off, but that's just me being possibly a little bit biased, but I thought it was a push off. Belacia for the Kings hit a three-pointer at the buzzer against Houston.
Yeah.
And then Zach LaVine missed like a floater right down the middle of the lane against Toronto, and that was a loss for Chicago. So that was sort of, you know, the decent games like very, very early in the week. I don't know if you sort of caught any of those.
Yeah, just on that first game, the Pistons and the Pelicans, I think it obviously just stood out because D. Rose is still coming off the bench and sort of lighting up that filler. He took over the fourth quarter pretty much, didn't he?
Right.
When he hit his buzzer beater and, like, there's no emotion. He just walked away like, yeah, I do this for a living, basically.
Yeah, he's just like... He's probably yeah, okay, it's against New Orleans, all right? Like, God damn, we suck.
Well,
that would be so bad.
That's the thing I wanted to lead into. Like, you know, this is the Detroit Pistons. They're not even 50%, so, you know, they should be playing better in itself when, you know, the New Orleans are currently 6-18. But with the Pelicans, are they still jinking with that sort of lineup or, like, what? No. I mean, I know Lonzo Ball played off the bench in that game because I think he was just coming back from injury or he got injured.
He's had a couple of games back from injury now. So he did have one good game there sort of last week. I think it might have been the second game back from injury. I think he had like a 20-point 7-assist game right as I was about to sort of give him a gobful for him being crap. 20 points, 11 assists. Yeah. That was last Friday. But, you know, the weird thing just about Lonzo, just before we sort of get a bit derailed a little bit, you know, from his field goal percentage this year is 39%, which is up from 38% in his career. His three-point percentage is up to 36%, which is up from 32% over his career. And his free throw percentage is up to 60%, which is still disgraceful. But his free throw percentage for his career is 45%.
Yeah.
Like, that's out of control.
For an NBA player, that is
just an NBA guard. Like, if you want to be a shooter in this league, like that's okay. 36% from three is admirable. Like, that's sort of league average if you're going to be, you know, I get it. He's changing his shot mechanics, and it looks a little more aesthetically pleasing, shall we say? Not that horrible friggin' side looking shot, but it's just
it's like he's doing the Michael Jackson Thriller dance.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like he's doing the, you know, This is the thrill of the
fight. It's got like remember Kevin Martin? You know, he played for a lot of teams. He played for the Kings, played for the Timberwolves. He sort of had that sort of sideways, just weird action, but he made it work. You know, he was a really good scorer. But Lonzo's just, I don't know if he's not playing a decent, because they haven't had Derek Favors the last little while. He's come back this week, but he's just a bizarre player. Like, if you're not playing like a crazy run and gun type of game or a pick and roll with either, whether it's Jahlil Okafor or Derek Favors, then he's just not a good player without the ball. I don't know, for a point guard, like, is that the new generation of point guard now, where you're not good without the ball? It's just, I don't know, it's very strange. Very strange things at the moment.
It's possible. I mean, but then I always thought with the point guard of their era within now, like, you have to be a lights out shooter, don't you? That's what I thought. I mean, the point guard era that we're going through now, and we'll do, you can't be like Steph. Everyone can't be like Steph Curry, but
you still can work off the ball. Like, and that was one of the things that was a little bit of sort of criticism of James Harden last year, where if Chris Paul was bringing the ball up, then he would just be non-existent. He wouldn't move off the ball. He wouldn't do anything. He was just stagnant. So I was just like, you know, I require to dribble the ball 35 times inside the 24-second shot clock. This year he's a little bit better.
No, he's not. He's actually not better.
He's still pretty inefficient this year. But man, he's put up some monster. He's had 250-point games this week.
Just back on the Pelicans. I'm so glad. Just with Ingram, I'm so glad he to me is the most improved this year. I there's our little bits of other players and all that, but man, that guy, he needs a ball in his hand, and when he has a ball in his hand, especially when I watched him in that Detroit game, he can put up the points. He really can put up the points.
He's essentially doubled his point scoring output from last year. But the thing is too, like, he's essentially been given the keys to the kingdom too. You know, without Zion there, like, he is him and Drew Holiday are 100% relied upon to get the job offensively done.
How does this affect, say Zion comes back? Do you think, I guess Brandon Ingram will probably regress a little bit, I'm assuming, because Drew Holiday won't.
No, I wouldn't think so, because Drew's probably going to have the ball in his hands a little bit more. But it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works once it looks like my Christmas Day theory is not going to come true. It's actually going to be later than Christmas Day. I was actually watching The Jump this morning, and Paul Pierce is coming in just flatly saying, just sit him for the rest of the season.
That's what I'm hearing more and more. I think they're thinking like, don't rush him back. What's the point of rushing him back?
No, I don't think there's a point in rushing him back, but I think Rachel Nichols had a fairly valid point. Like, I'm still sort of mixed about it. I don't really care too much about whether he wins Rookie of the Year or blah, blah, blah.
No.
He's your franchise player. You have to look after him. But even if he only plays 30 games this season, like, and yeah, you don't, and you don't play him on back-to-backs and things like that, it's just getting him experience. Like, that's the point that Rachel Nichols was coming across with. He just needs experience. And if you get those 30 games experience this year, it's only going to be better for him in the long run.
I guess one good thing
of doing, he's just itching to get out there. Like, the few things that I've sort of read and what I've heard from Alvin Gentry, he's just itching to get out there. He's a 19-year-old kid. He wants to play.
I guess one good thing about doing it is see how he reacts with this. Because he's, like you said, he's their franchise cornerstone. See how he reacts with this team, and if they need to tinker the team in the offseason around him. Because that, you know, that could be play a big part in it as well, obviously. So,
no, well, that's right. They've got to try and see what he can do, and then in the off season try and get complementary pieces to fit around him.
I guess they just don't want to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen, but you know, maybe because there is a franchise that they don't want to ruin, you know, basically have another Anthony Davis sort of thing happen. But I, no, I don't
that's
know. Right.
And that's what Paul Pierce was saying. Said, we've lost Anthony Davis. Like, we cannot, absolutely cannot have this happen again. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to – and granted, you know, Anthony Davis was brittle in his first, you know, three to 4 years in New Orleans as well. So, you know, that obviously didn't help.
Well, that, and that's what – that's
until he started putting a bit of bulk. But that's what came out.
He also on the sly blamed – and it's different now with the coaching staff that is now, but I'm sure he – after he got traded, he blamed the way they were progressing with his injury, that they were rushing him sort of back. So, you know, maybe they're just going, well, we have to get this right. Well, this is our franchise guy. We need it. So,
well, that's right. Yeah, the athletic training department there at the Pels is very different now. It's the core of exactly. It is part of it is the old a lot of the old Phoenix Suns. From say, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, who essentially they got Shaquille O'Neal back on track when he was sort of, you know, waning with injury. And for me, I think the biggest feather in their cap is getting Grant Hill, even though he was sort of at a not at a super advanced age, but, you know, obviously he was past his prime, but getting him back to a very productive player. And, you know, if you remember Grant Hill back in the day, holy moly. Like, he was ridiculous. And then once he got to Orlando, just had just the run of horrid injuries. Mm-hmm. And that plagued him for 6 to 7 years.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah.
Took his primal.
I think so. I think that's what happened. Yeah, you're right.
It totally happened, yeah. And then that's what I mean. And then Tracy McGrady was sent to Orlando. And, you know, he was meant to be that complimentary piece with Grant Hill, and just didn't happen. Like, it was just, and then everything was heaped on Tracy McGrady then, and that sort of advanced his development. Look at what's there. Look at the score he turned into.
I love my segue. Speaking of scorers, one of the big games that stood out to me of the week was the Clippers and with Kawhi Leonard going back to Toronto for the first time. Accepting his ring, you know, them beating the Toronto Raptors 112-92 and him putting up 23 points. No, 23 points. Sorry, yeah, I did have that right. 23 points. But, I mean, I think it obviously stood out because of the first 10 minutes. Like, the Toronto crowd were just clearly accepting.
They still love him.
Clearly
it was
accepting.
MVP chance.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, they're a very, very accepting 600 diamonds in that Toronto championship ring. How in the bluest of blue hell do you fit 600 diamonds on a ring? They must be the tiniest. They must be like pebble diamonds.
They must be on top of, yeah, I have no idea.
What do they do? Stack them three deep?
I mean, you know, little bits like that, like the ring ceremony, you know, the Clippers getting away with the game like pretty easily. But
I think the Clippers had that game. That was one of the ESPN games. That was the second of the ESPN games. Here the Pels on ESPN off. Before we get off that, I bet you ESPN is pissed. That they have to play them as the very last game of their Christmas Day, you know, / our Boxing Day, so the Pels and the Nuggets. Oh my God, they're just awful. That's gonna be a horrendous game to watch on Christmas Day.
There's not much they can do about it. Unfortunately.
Oh my God. Well, they've shunted a heap of Golden State games off national TV. Surely they can shunt the Pels as well.
Yeah, just with that game, like Kyle Lowry, there's no way that guy's justifying the 30 plus million he signed for that 1 year. Like, he only had 6 points that game. That's it. You know, and that's 35 minutes. 6 points, 35 minutes. You know, 31 plus.
He has those games in him every now and then. That's like a playoff Lowry performance. But yeah, he can drift. He can have those games where he can drift in and out.
Yeah, I suppose. It just doesn't fall, and it's, I suppose 30 million pales in comparison to what they're getting paid now. But that doesn't justify to me the, you know, 30 million for 1 year for the, how he's playing. It's obviously like, you know, you got us to the finals. Well, not just him, but you got us to the finals, so we'll pay you. But I don't see, he's not going to be there next year. There's no way he'll be there next year.
Well, the problem is they're a little bit too good at the moment now, like to just go and have a fire sale and get rid of everybody. So,
they're only good because of Siakam. So I'd be start building around him.
And that's
him.
You know, if you're going to finish, if you're going to be a top four finisher in the East, or you know, even if you're the fifth seed, like you can't. Yeah, I think their success this year has sort of handcuffed them a little bit. Like if they weren't going to be as good, if they were going to be an under 500 team, then yeah, you could totally look for a bit of a rebuild. But they're playing really well this year, so I think they've got to try and go for another playoff run again.
Oh, I think so too. And the thing is, they have trade pieces if they want to go for a run. You know, Gasol's on a 1 year contract, Lowry's on a 1 year contract, so you know that's money that people will take just to get money off the book sort of later. So there's tradable pieces there. I don't know what happens, but there is tradable pieces there. The other tradable piece, again, before we move on, is Kevin Love, because he's starting to play great again. Like when he played, they're talking about OT games, that Spurs game where the Cavs beat the Spurs in about Spurs like 50 millionth OT game.
Four overtime games on the trot. It's an NBA record. Crazy.
Kevin Love, 30.17 rebounds, but he actually has come out now and said, I want to go home. Like his home is, well, realistically, I don't know where his home is, but Portland is where he wants to go. That's where his hometown was. So he has come out and talked about that now. So I don't know how they're going to structure a deal in order to get it. Like that'd have to be clearly, it'd have to be Whiteside. It'd have to be in there somewhere because Whiteside's on an expiring contract. So that's,
the problem will be Jusuf Nurkić will be coming back soon. Like they're going to have to nurse him back into, you know, back into the lineup, and he's not going to have the greatest role in the world. And you can't play Kevin Love a whole lot at center, I wouldn't think. He's a terrific rebounder and always has been, even if you go back to, you know, when he was first drafted at Minnesota, he's always been a terrific rebounder. But I don't think he can play him at center like too much, because Melo will be playing a lot of four in Portland.
That's right.
So that'd be a very interesting dynamic, and what would Portland have to sort of give up, because Portland's just been ravaged by the injury bug this season. So they are getting better. A lot of people are sort of saying they'd like to see them make a playoff push, but
I think Kevin Love comes into that. You know, if you can get Kevin Love with a backcourt of Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, you know, and sprinkle a bloody Carmelo Anthony in there.
Melo would go back to playing the three then. That'd be the thing. Melo would go back to, which I think is his natural position, he'd just go back to playing the three. So, which is fair enough. But then you still, if you package a piece with Hassan Whiteside, then you're short again at center. So, you know, you're not throwing Jusuf Nurkić back to the Wolves, you know, and putting him, you know, 30, 35 minutes when he comes back off that, you know, off that horrendous injury. Like he's going to have to be, you know, nursed back to health.
And he's playing well. So he'd have to go to a contender, obviously. I don't know where he's going to end up, but he is playing well, you know, justify the $120 million contract he signed.
Yeah,
he's always been a good player.
He's got his ring, and he's happy.
But at the end of the day, you'd still want to go to a contender. Like, you know, he's not like he's in his prime anymore. I mean,
he's 30. I think he's 31. He's 31, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, he's not so much that he's getting up there in age, but it just depends on, you know, how healthy he can be and, you know, how much he can sort of ward off Father Time and still be a productive player.
Any other games you sort of want to touch on before moving on to some news?
Well, just a couple. I thought, I don't know if you've seen sort of early in the week as well, the Miami win over Atlanta in overtime. I don't know if you sort of caught
a Tuesday
too much
game.
It was a Tuesday night Tuesday game in the again, States. That was Wednesday here.
Yeah.
Trae Young declaring with, I think it was 50 seconds to go. Yeah. And yeah, Atlanta were up stuff. Six, and him declaring that it's over. That's right. That's exactly what he was doing. After that, the Heat proceed to score the next 6 points to send it to overtime. And then after that, score the first 16 in overtime to absolutely, yeah, just dig the boot in and to basically say to Trae Young, shut the F up. And this game's not over, and we'll send you packing back to Atlanta.
Well, that's exactly what happened. And this is a guy that's, he didn't have a great game that game. Like 21, for the way his freakish scoring is, he only got 21 points. But how good's that Bam Adebayo?
Adebayo, That's one note that I'd sort of written down this week for was I don't seem to have written down the game, but yeah, it was the same game at the start of the week where Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo had triple doubles in the same game. They're the first Miami Heat teammates to have triple doubles in the same game. So I think that's pretty crazy. To have two teammates to have a triple double in the same game, like that's crazy. I think Bam had like 30-11-11.
It was against Atlanta. 30-11-11, and Butler got 20-18 and
he had 18 rebounds.
Yes. So that was that game that they had a triple double, but
it was over. It was over. It was declared by Trae Young. It was over.
Just because you've got Vince Carter on your side doesn't mean you can say that. Just because he's on that side.
Oh, my God. Like, that's 50 seconds. Like, are you serious? Six points up. Like, it'd be different if you were 16 points up. Then you could maybe say it's over. But 6 points in 50 seconds? Like, that's not very game-aware at all.
No, definitely not.
No, that's really poor game awareness.
And just speaking of Bam, he's only 22, so he's only young. They drafted him 2 years ago, very high pick, 14. So pretty easy. He's coming to fruition, obviously.
He's only come to
fruition ever since Whiteside's gone. Got rid of the shit that was there. And
yeah, that's right. And yeah, they're sort of featuring him a little more. Spolstra, and Spolstra does a really good job with that too. Like, man, he's such a good coach, and he's really proving that. He's really proved that since LeBron left. I guess everybody sort of thought that he was just a bit of a puppet being there, but he's really proven his worth there with the Heat post LeBron James. So.
Well, no, I don't think anyone can sleep on the Heat now. I think their record speaks for itself.
Oh no way. Well, so, they had another, it was only a couple of days ago on I think it was over the weekend where they had an overtime win over Dallas.
Yeah.
And in that game, sort of the sort of biggish news of the week, Luka Doncic is hurt.
Yeah.
Did you see it? Or man, that ankle twist did not look pretty at all.
No, I seen him walk off, but oof. It didn't. You're right. It didn't look pretty, and
didn't look good at all.
Well, I guess we'll talk about the Mavericks probably next week when we look at the games from next week or from this week, I should say. Because depending on how much you're going to miss him, I mean, there's Luka Doncic, but there's been no like timeline or anything like that, as far as I'm aware.
I did hear 2 weeks, but the way that it looked. I don't know. Like, that looked a really nasty sort of landing on the front part of your foot and your ankle just twisting right underneath it. That didn't look, didn't look fun at all. So for him to be, 2 weeks, that's probably, five to six games. So
Yeah. Which is ridiculous. 2 weeks, well, six games. Yeah. Just when you hear it.
No, exactly. Well, it's, I mean, yeah, well, KP now's got to, yeah, he's got to start stepping up and
He did. Well, this week. We'll talk about it next week, but he did step up this week.
And Seth Curry as well. Seth Curry had a 30-point game this week as well.
Yeah.
It was in the game in Mexico. The Mavs took I'm pretty sure it was the Mavs took their home game against Detroit to Mexico. This is before the injury. I think Doncic had like 41 points, but Seth Curry had 30.
Got
a soft spot for the younger brother.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and again, I'll talk about next week's game with when they played the Bucks. Yeah, no, I do too. I mean, he's just like his brother. He still can shoot the ball and run well. So
yeah, bounced around the league a little bit, but hopefully he's sort of steady there with the Mavs. And yeah, he's putting out really good numbers. Probably over the last couple of weeks now. So. I like to see that.
Speaking of injuries, Eric Bledsoe looks like he's got a fractured fibula.
So he's out at the moment. But the time frame for that, they're only saying 2 weeks as well. That doesn't seem right. If he's got a fracture in his leg, then surely that's got to be longer than 2 weeks. And once again, another player that's very important to his team. Yeah, he's been playing, sort of second/third fiddle on that Bucks team. He's been playing. Yeah, Bledsoe's been playing great. I've said it throughout this year that Bledsoe's been playing great. He's a little nugget.
I don't get how you're right. When I seen that fractured fibula and they said 2 weeks, I have to keep this stupid. I fractured and broke my friggin' finger in basketball, and they said I have to keep this stupid thing on for 6 weeks. So how the hell can he get back from a fractured leg for 2 weeks? It's ridiculous. Yeah,
two weeks, and you can just go out there and jump around and run around. And it just doesn't. Yeah. It must be something along the lines of a hairline fracture or something like that. It mustn't be much.
Not that I'm an NBA superstar and I don't have like doctors around me 24/7, but it's not the point.
That's it. Injury.
As long as I'm ready for a straight A carnival, I don't really care.
That's another story that we can talk about off the microphones. No. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Now the news is Marvin Bagley's returned from his suspension.
Bagley was hurt.
Sorry, wrong person. Yeah, Bagley's returned. He just got injured. Sorry.
Yeah, he returned against the Knicks in a loss. The Knicks won two straight this week. So woohoo, rejoice, Knicks fans. Especially on a West Coast swing as well. That's definitely New York Knick like. But they couldn't finish off the West Coast swing with a W, but they won two on the trot. Obviously, one was against the Golden State Warriors in overtime. They beat the Kings. They beat the Kings straight up. So, that was good on the Knicks. Getting two straight. Now they're probably got a better win percentage than the Pels. I didn't really think we were that bad, but obviously we are.
It's hard to read into that. In the last couple of games, they weren't playing like the greatest of sides, the Knicks. Not the point. They did beat the Pelicans.
Not the point. Yeah, that's right. But getting road wins, and you'd think that they, going into Golden State, they would be competitive. But to knock off the Kings in Sacramento, like that's not too bad.
What about Dion Waiters just deciding to be on a boat when he thinks he could just go on a boat whenever he wants to?
Oh my God! Who is advising Dion what to do? Like, is he just running his own ship here, or this is his third suspension this year, only two months into the season, and this is his third suspension. It's cost him $1.4 million out of his $12 million salary this year in fines, not playing. It's just, wow.
So basically, he's called in for a sick day, but then I think there was Instagram pictures or something where he's on some sort of yacht or something, enjoying the lifestyle in Miami. Well, it is Miami.
Yeah, that's right. He's just heading to Waiters Island. That's all. Like, you know, he's just on a cruise to Waiters Island. Like, that's his MO. It's very bizarre. You know, he had the conduct detrimental to the team during the preseason, so he was suspended then. We had the cannabis gummy incident where he had the freak out on the plane. And now this.
Bad reaction, they call that, an infused edible.
Anyway. Yeah, gummy. He must have thought they were normal gummies and had about 20 of them.
With the heat, but they're looking into options now. They're done. They're determined to move on from Dion Waiters.
Who's going to want him though? With all of them, especially this year. Who the hell's going to want him?
It could be. So he's on the expiring contract next year. He's slated to make 12.6. Sorry. No, his expiring contract's not till the year after, because next year he's slated to make $12.65 million.
Yeah, they only just re-signed him.
I don't know who would want him, because if he goes,
you've got to get him on the court. If he keeps doing this stupid crap, then he's not going to be on the court.
He probably should go somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere where there's no boats or no party lifestyle.
some people can handle Miami and some people can't. Maybe he should go to like Detroit or somewhere like that.
Detroit? Yeah, somewhere that's real, like, you know, real people working and shit like that, real fast.
Well, see, that was the thing. Yeah. That was always the criticism of Hassan Whiteside. Like when he got to Miami, there was just too many other, you know, distractions down there in South Beach for him to sort of get himself into trouble. And now that he's in Portland, where, you know, supposedly it's nice and quiet and possibly very boring up there. I'm sure it's a lovely city up there in the Pacific Northwest. But yeah, it looks like he's sort of focusing. I think he's starting to play really well, I think, Hassan Whiteside. So. You know, in a team that is lacking depth, you know, just due to the massive injury toll. But you know, as a starting center, yeah, he's actually playing really well. So I don't know who's going to pick up Dion Waiters. Yeah, he's got to go to somewhere. Where do you get San Antonio?
I don't know, but when he's on, he can be on. He's very But
maybe he goes back to Cleveland.
There's too many death. I don't think that's going to happen.
Bernie's bridges in Cleveland.
There's too many. There's too many bad marks against his name for a team to pick him up. But when he's explosive, yeah, like he had that great year. I think it was in the Heat when he. That's probably why they re-signed him. Just under 16 points a game. So
yeah, Pat Riley will be brewing the day that he extended him.
But yeah, who's going to pick him up? I do not know. Was there any sort of other standouts in terms of news?
I think the shouldn't overlook the PJ Washington. Injury as well. Fractured a finger, and he's probably going to be out for, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks as well. He's been playing really well. He started all 28 games for Charlotte, 12 points, 5 rebounds, and shooting 40% from three. Like, that's pretty good numbers for a rookie.
Charlotte in general. Like, yeah, PJ Washington is playing well. My favorite player this year so far is Devonte Graham. That dude's come out of nowhere.
Man.
Or just the Hornets. We all did. We wrote, you know, the Hornets off early in the podcast.
I think a lot of people did.
But they're not playing bad. Are they just under 500 or they're 500?
They're two games under 500, I'm pretty sure.
Which is still impressive for the team that they have.
If the playoffs started now, I'm pretty sure they're in the eighth slot.
They're just under. They're 13-17. They're in the ninth spot at the moment.
All right. So they've had a couple of losses.
Just a half a game behind the Magic. So, but that's on the back of PJ Washington and Devontae Graham. Devontae Graham, I shouldn't have sort of went straight in for most improved in terms of Brandon Ingram, because that guy has improved out of sight, Devontae Graham.
Well, that's right. This is his second year, and I think it was once again sort of quoting, I can't remember who it was off the jump. It might have been Amin El-Hassan saying that you can't sort of really consider him too much in the most improved category because it's his second year. So if you're going to make that jump, you should be improving in that second year to start with. So, and I don't care if you're making a huge leap from 1 year to another, I still think you can totally consider him. You know, he had a 40-point game this week, Devontae Graham, against Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's fueling this Charlotte team, which is totally unexpected.
I guess it's like any player, like it all depend. If Hickey's playing great this season, that's great. But it's that season after, like Dion Waiters is a perfect example. It's that season after to see if they, I guess, have that consistency.
That's the point of it, is to see whether he's set the bar a little bit too high now. Obviously we're only sort of a bit over a quarter of the way this season, so you want to see that consistency continue throughout the rest of this season. See if Charlotte can sort of, which sort of puts Charlotte in a little bit of purgatory at the moment as well. You know, that they're not quite good enough to sort of make a push into the, you know, into a deep run into the playoffs, but they're not horrendous, so they're not going to get a majorly high draft pick. So, you know, they're going to be in that lower end of the lottery picking again. So yeah. that's you know, and you've got to find a diamond in the rough to. If they want to sort of make those progressions, sort of sucks. And they've been around there for the last couple of years now, you know, just in that, you know, that 8, 9, 10 slot where you just, you've really got to get pretty lucky, unless it's a really deep draft class, to find decent players, you know, even if it's after the 10th or 12th pick.
On their defense, though, they have a lot of expiring contracts this year. So,
well, that's right. They could make a splash.
They could do it the other way. They could. The way they're playing, you know, they don't look like a team that no one wants to go to. You know, people may want to go to there.
If you can get Batum off the books, if you can get Marvin Williams off the books, if you can get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist off the books, then, yep, you know, you'll free up a shit ton of salary to try and lure people to Charlotte. And that's not the greatest free agent destination, but yeah, I think, you know, if you've got an exciting young core, you know, Terry Rozier, Malik Monk, Devontae Graham, PJ Washington, guys like that, you know, Michael Jordan might be able to sort of, you know, lure some mid, you know, mid-range free agents to Charlotte.
Well, that's always been their problem. I mean, it's not that they don't want to play, you know, for the Jumpman brand at least. They just
got to do their deals via trade. Correct. That's the thing. They've got to do their deals via trade, like, because it's always has been a hard destination to get free agents.
So they'll get Batum has a player option next year, so most likely because he's playing, you know, he's not playing, I guess he'll take that next year. He's got a player option.
Yep.
But they'll get Bismack Biyombo. He'll come off the
box. Oh my god, I forgot about Bismack Biyombo.
I say that name.
Two of the worst contracts in the league right now, Bismack Biyombo and Georgie Deng from Minnesota. They're horrible contracts.
There's one more name to throw in that. So Bismack, Marvin Williams is the other one coming off as well.
Yeah, Marvin Williams, yeah. So you know, high draft pick. He's been in the league eight, nine years now and just has not lived up to potential at all.
So they'll get, and between those two and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, they'll get $45 million off the book. So that
Kidd-Gilchrist is like a former, is he a number two or number three pick? So is Bismack Biyombo. He's a high draft pick as well.
Well, if you look at their team, just looking at the team and what I'm looking at in front of me, half of their team are first round picks, and these are the first round picks: Cody Zeller, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Malik Monk, PJ Washington, and Miles Bridges. So
at least they've got some youth there as well. Like, you know, those Bridges brothers hopefully will develop and come along well, because the other one is in Phoenix and I think he's playing really well. But yeah, it's, I mean, Miles Bridges there as well. They've got a good mixture of youth there for development. So
I think that $45 million come up, that'll be good for it. You know, you get rid of a few forwards and then you go and find a forward out there, because I mean, possibly a forward or a guard, but you know, PJ Washington and Devontae Graham are on very low rookie contracts. So
and they've got to capitalize on that.
Exactly right. The only one that's high contract, but well, yeah, I suppose is Terry Rozier. So you'd probably go after a center, I suppose, or a forward, because between Devontae Rozier and PJ Washington, yeah, there's pretty much your starting three, I think.
There you go. Well, there's a 31-year-old power forward that's probably on the trading block running around in Cleveland that might look good in a Charlotte Hornets uniform.
Would they trade or would they just wait? I mean, I'd have to go through the look and we could look at that next week, but would they trade or would they just wait to see he's on free agency?
Well, that'd be the thing. I think Cleveland management would laugh in their face if they sort of said, "Oh, we can give you like Nick Batum and Marvin Williams."
But yeah, you're right. You're right.
All you'd hear on the phone would be,
"Yeah, you're right." But the difference is they're expiring contracts, so that means that if you're right,
you don't want to let K Love go for nothing, though.
No, you're right. Oh, well, he's on an expiring contract. He's got another 3 years. No, he's definitely not expiring. He's not an expiring contract.
He's expiring, but his contract's not.
But I guess the top, there's some decent sort of players out there that, you know, I mean, Anthony Davis was on the Lakers, but, you know, who's to say Draymond Green won't get sick of Golden State Warriors? I don't think he'll go to Charlotte.
He's come out and pretty much said that, yeah, he wants to be a Warrior for life, so... They are going to have the hugest turnaround next year. They're going to get, you know, a possible top three pick next year. Curry's going to be back healthy. Klay Thompson's going to be back healthy. They'll have a super high draft pick. Whatever they want to do with D'Angelo Russell, they might be able to pick up some, you know, some savvy veteran players, or maybe get some more draft picks later on. Like Golden State next year, people in San Francisco at the new Chase Arena have just got to be patient.
One that sticks out, I guess, before we move on, Andre Drummond. He's got a player option next year. That'd be a really good center to go for Charlotte to go over.
He's going to cost Detroit a lot of money if they want to keep him.
I don't think they'll keep him. He has a player option, so I think he'll get more money on the free agencies. Personally, but I guess we'll wait and see. Montrezl Harrell
another player that's just hovering around in a bit of purgatory, you know, just wandering around in Detroit, going, well, where are we going? Are we going nowhere? You know, we're supposed to be a mid tier Eastern Conference team, you know, with Blake Griffin and. The likes of Derrick Rose and players like that. Like, you'd think that they would be a lot better than what they are.
Yeah, you're right. They're a purgatory. You're exactly right. They, you know, they might just go, well, we won't take you and we'll rebuild. You know, yeah. I don't see Andre Drummond staying there next year. I love the way he plays.
Depends how much money they throw at him.
Because of his consistency. He's too consistent, if anything, but... He's consistent on a shitty team, so...
He's averaging like 16.5 rebounds a game. Like, that's...
Well, he's only averaging a double-double per game. A double-double, so...
He should be averaging more than 10 points a game, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he's averaging a double-double a game. So, Yeah, we might look into the free agency next week because who's coming off the books? Because
well, there's lots of trade rumors. Yeah, there's lots of trade rumors being sort of floated around at the moment because I think the deadline has come up now where you can trade your free agent signings. Mm-hmm. And I think the trade deadline is like the 6th of February or something like that. So, yeah, I think a lot of sports writers are getting itchy fingers. Trying to get their takes out there now on who could be traded because yeah, there's calls, or you know the Pels have said that the likes of Drew Holiday are up for trade, which I think would just be crazy. Like the price for Drew Holiday would be quite high, so I don't see that happening. But you just never know what sort of offer. The problem is if contending teams offer and they want to start offering draft picks, their draft picks are going to be worth nothing because they're going to be low-end first-round draft picks. You want to be getting, you know, capital back. You know, you want to be getting decent players back, and that's just not going to happen.
The draft and looking at free agency next week, we'll probably touch. Looking at free agency now, might touch on it next week. The free agency next year is not, you know, a standout Andre Drummond, Anthony. After. Well, yeah, exactly, Anthony Davis, but I'd say he'll re-sign with the Lakers. He's not. Gordon Hayward and probably DeMar DeRozan, they're the standouts to me. So next year's ridiculous. Paul.
Next year's the big fish, Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's who everyone's going to be throwing out the bait for.
Well, I mean, these ones have player options, but you got Chris Paul. These are all player options. Chris Paul, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Blake Griffin, Paul George all have player options. And then you go down then to Giannis I'm not going to try to say his name. Giannis, LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge is starting to advance in age as well too. So yeah.
Rudy Gobert's in that mix too. Wow, that is a really deep free agency roster in 2 years.
That's what I mean. Everyone's just got to be patient.
Like Knicks, but well, yeah, that's what.
Oh my God! Well, they've been patient for the last 20 years, so you know. That's...
I love it. I think you've already threw one out there. But did you have a dud for the week? I'm sure you've already thrown one out there.
A dud of the week. Well, yeah, I guess we sort of touched on it a little bit there with
Trae Young.
I think you could almost go Dion Waiters as well, but Trae Young, like just the game awareness, he must have looked up and maybe seen 5 seconds on the clock rather than 50 seconds on the clock. Is that just second year syndrome and just going, oh yes, maybe if it was 1998 and you're up 6 with 50 seconds to go, you could be like, oh, we have got this game in the bag. Three possessions. Are you kidding me? Like none of this two possession business, and we can just hold on and play the foul game. Like that's such bad game awareness there. I think he just tips Dion Waiters. I think for the dud of the week.
I was gonna say Trae Young because you know just because, again because you got Vince Carter on your side. That invented it's over, it's over. Doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. And then, clearly, when you do it, you can't get away with it. So.
Oh, and that's right. And then proceed to crap the bed, and then get the next 22 points scored on your team. You know whether that was a little bit of motivation for Miami as well because it was clearly on TV. So, I think. Yeah, I think that was rather poorly done.
Do you have a start of the week?
I just want to say Miami as a whole, really.
Yeah. Well, Bam was thrown in there, but yeah, definitely. Yeah,
the way that they're playing at the moment, you know, Jimmy Butler is supposedly a hard guy to work with and get along with in bad situations, like he was at the end of his tenure at Chicago, you know, his tenure in Minnesota, the guy just wants to win. And he's come out and said that multiple times. I want to win. I want to be around winners. And they're getting, you know, with Tyler, you know, the rookies, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Bam Adebayo, Justice Winslow's had a couple of games off.
Myers Leonard's playing well.
Myers Leonard that they picked up this year. Goran Dragic has missed a couple of games recently, but you know he's embraced that role off the bench. Kendrick Nunn, the undrafted rookie, man, like he is just, can he keep this up? That's the thing. Him and Tyler Hero, can they be consistent enough for them to really push them to be an upper echelon Eastern Conference team?
I haven't seen enough of Tyler Hero this year, you know, to warrant that I don't think he's got the consistency there yet. Not yet. I mean, he's a great player.
He's only a rookie. They're only rookies, so they're gonna have ups and downs. But you just them to be you want their differential between a good game and a bad game to not be so wide.
Yeah, and you're right. It's only his rookie season. I think it was an extremely smart pick by the Miami Heat because no one was like, I guess, looking at him when he did get picked. But he's a great. I think he is a great fit with Jimmy Butler. Definitely, if you know, he just seems. They just seem to play off well with each other, of what I've seen.
Jimmy Buckets, man, he's getting it done.
I guess the start of the week was sort of Bam Adebayo. God, I'm getting terrible with names. Bam Adebayo. Adebayo, I should say.
Adetokounmpo. Maybe it's just guys with A in their first name.
Adetokounmpo. Adetokounmpo. Adebayo. My start of the week is, and I don't know how he's still doing it, is LeBron James purely because he's still the assist leader at the moment with 9.7 assists per game. I don't know how, like he's nearly averaging a triple double, or close to a triple double, this season, which is absolutely ridiculous. But he's leading.
He did have a triple double against Atlanta this week. I think it was 32, 13, and 17.
Yep, that's exactly
13 rebounds, 17 assists. So, you know, he's, like I said, that's what we said a couple of weeks ago. Like, you know, LeBron, now that he's got the oil of Olay, which is Anthony Davis, like he's looking good again. So, you know, he's getting rid of them crow's feet. Man, his skin looks nice and youthful and supple again. Like it's crazy. He's Benjamin Button.
It's Benjamin Button.
He needs that oil of Olay.
I like the Olay. Yeah, and the Lakers are playing well, but I can't work out. You know, he's not a hog. He never has been in his career. He's never been a hog. But he's still the assist leader, which is absolutely ridiculous. But hey,
I reckon he'll carry that through the rest of the season.
I'd say so. Now, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to change. Like, you know, Doncic is close, but...
Man, Frank Vogel must be so bored as coach. Here, here you go, LeBron, give it to AD. Just kick it out for shooters, you know, KCP, Jared Dudley. You go out there and run the team. I'm just going to sit back here and have a sip of some Gatorade and, you know, call timeouts whenever I feel like it The TV networks require us calling timeouts, so whenever I'm ready, I'll call a timeout and we'll get some ads in.
So you don't think he's done anything to sort of progress the Lakers, or he's just listening? Like, I think he's done well.
He's got a pretty good support staff there as well. You know, with Jay Kidd, I'm pretty sure Lionel Hollins is there as well, the former Memphis coach. So
I think this was the best move Jason Kidd has done. Purely as a coaching, purely for the fact of like he can build his credibility again.
No, that's right. You know, that will hopefully get him back in the good graces of the league for a head coaching job again.
Yeah.
The only person that really had his back in Milwaukee was Giannis.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was only Giannis.
It's pretty sad because, you know, he's, like he is one of the greatest point guards that's ever played. Like, he, you know, when he come in the, you know, in 94, he near revolutionized the point guard play. You know, he was white chocolate before Jason Williams. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was flashy. He could still score. And then as his career went on, he evolved his game. You know, he turned into one of the best 3-point shooters that we've ever seen.
I don't know what really happened in Milwaukee, because I don't think he did a bad job. Yes, they didn't play well.
I think they sort of thought that he was maybe stunting Giannis's growth. And because this was his first gig as head coach, that he wasn't sort of quite equipped to be able to deal with, you know, the absolute stud and superstar that Giannis had the potential to be. Whereas Budenholzer's been around a while. He's been through the San Antonio system as an assistant. He had that run with Atlanta, where they had the four All-Stars on the same squad. So, you know, Budenholzer's been around the traps. So that's sort of helped them get to where they are now. So hopefully J Kidd can sort of, do his thing as an assistant and sort of, get back in the good graces of the league. And, you know, he's not going anywhere in the immediate future, I wouldn't think, but it'd be nice to see him get a head gig again somewhere else.
Well, that'll do it for this week's NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, at The Final Play Pod, and SoundCloud.
I just got a little bit of extra bonus content here, just sort of noticing a few statistics that sort of come out lately. James Harden is on pace. He's on pace to hit 418 triples this year if he plays all 82. He's averaging like 5 3-pointers a game. The record was a couple of years ago by Stephen Curry. He had 402 in 79 games. You know, in that 15-16 season where he was the unanimous MVP. You know, they won the 73 games. Obviously, gagged it in the finals. But man, Harden is just raining those triples like they're going out of fashion. If he hits 400, if he's on pace to hit 418 of them.
What'd you just get a Google alert? That was awesome. It just come out of nowhere.
No, I just had that written down. I'd sort of throw that out there. Just doing a little bit of research. I was trying to find out how many games it took Steph Curry to actually get those 402 made threes, and he only missed two games that season. And I found an interesting little thing on his Wikipedia page. His full name is Wardell Stephen Curry II. So that means his father, the great Del Curry, the great shooter from Charlotte, and you know, obviously he's been around the traps a little bit. He was in Toronto for a little while. Is Wardell Curry? Obviously, you take the war out of the front of it, which is Del Curry. So I thought that was very interesting. That he's his middle name is Stephen Curry, but his name is Wardell Stephen Curry II.
So in other words, now that I've heard all that poor Seth Curry, you know, Steph Curry could have called himself Warden, and Seth Curry could have had his own little name by himself, but no.
Oh no.
He could have been Del Curry II, Steph, but no. Classic Steph. Cutting off his brother again.
That's right. Yeah, just getting him before anybody even knew Seth Curry existed when he went to the Blue Devils for that 1 year and sort of come into the league has just been busted around. I think he's had about four different teams. Well, this is his second stint in Dallas.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but yeah.
Portland, New Orleans.
I love. He can be lights out. I love it. He's definitely a light. When he's on.
Just that little bit undersized, I think that can be a little bit of a problem. And he's not, he's not as proficient in getting to the cup as what Steph Curry is.
No, you're right. If he drove the ball more, he probably would be a lot better.
But he's definitely one to be respected from the 3-point line. I think it might have even been midway through last year, he was leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a funny feeling too that I'm pretty sure that I heard during the Pels Bucks game throughout the earlier in the week that that George Hill is leading the league in 3-point percentage this year, like 50.8, which George Hill.
Man. Really?
Hopefully my ears didn't deceive me, but I'm pretty sure he's leading the league in 3-point percentage at 50%, if not better. Thought it was 50.8. It could have changed now, but when that game was played on the Thursday, as of that, I'm pretty sure that it was 50.8% that George Hill was hitting at a clip. I think it was, averaging like 1.5 threes a game.
Wow.
Made threes. That's so bizarre. And that's what Seth Curry was doing last year. Like, he wasn't hitting, any more than as an average of two 3-pointers a game, but he was hitting it at a fairly high clip.
Wow.
There you go, man. I love some random stats at the end of a pod.
Yeah, that'll do it. We can throw that in every so often.
I'm a sucker for random stats.
I'm gonna think about George Hill all night now.
Oh, I'm just going to be thinking about Wardell Stephen Curry the second.
I'm going to think of poor Seth Curry. He could have kept his own name. Stephen Seth. Poor Seth.
Playing second fiddle with the big brother.
Have a good week, NBA week, everyone.
Enjoy your NBA, everybody. My name is Wardell Miles Plum the first.
Nah, I'm taking Jason Olay Smith. I lay too much.
Jason Will of Olay Smith. Very good.
Will of Olay. Thanks for the sponsorship.
Need to get some youthful looking skin back.
See ya.
See ya.